Hi, this is Ken Vellante, host of Something Rather Than Nothing, with episode 20. Beautiful number in 2020, episode with Vanessa Stockard. Really, as you'll hear me gushing here and there, just a beautiful artist, an incredible creator, and a lot of energy and joy and fun that I find from her works. As you'll hear during the interview, she posts a lot of her material, a lot of her paintings on Instagram. It's a great place to interact and to take a look at her work, which I highly suggest that you do. It was good to hear during the interview that she's got a book that will collect her paintings and also some poetry that'll accompany it. So without further ado, all the way from Australia, New South Wales, Vanessa Stockard. All right. This is the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and we are with Vanessa Stockard, we are calling her and contacting her in Australia, New South Wales. And what particular town is it, Vanessa?
I live in Barrel, so it's south of Sydney.
Okay. Really wanted to just initially welcome you onto the podcast, Vanessa. It's a great thrill, and I'm very excited that you've agreed to chat with us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So I'm here recording in the great state of Oregon in the United States, and I understand that you have spent some time in Oregon. Do you want to kind of let the listeners know about your time in Oregon?
Yeah, I loved Oregon, and I lived in Portland probably for about a year and a half. And look, I was on my way out I'd had enough of America, basically. I'd been in Santa Barbara, and there were people had these mansions with just no books, and it was just so boring. And I thought, okay, I'll visit a friend up there and see if I like it. And I just loved it.
And what drew you in? I mean, I'm from the East Coast of the U.S. originally and made my way out here. I've been in the area for about 9 years, and it's had a significant impact on my appreciation of the arts and doing art and kind of expression, just general, like freedom of expression. Did you notice any of those type of things? Is that what drew you, or was it something else?
No, it was all of that. You know, some of my favorite writers are from Oregon, and I just love the, you know, your forests up there, and people, you know, read and make art and music and all sorts of things. And yeah, everything about Portland I really love. Maybe not the weather 100%, but certainly the social aspect. I really love that.
Yeah, the weather is something to be adjusted to, I find. That's very diplomatic. We'll start diplomatically. It's something to get used to.
It is.
So what were you like? What were you like when you were younger? Were you already, you know, were you an artist when you were born, or what was your personality like? What was your relation to the arts?
Well, I definitely always loved drawing. I started playing the piano when I was 3, so I was sort of definitely into the arts from, you know, really, really young. How was I as a kid? I was a bit strange. I was a bit odd. I don't think I was quite on the planet, you know. If there was a joke going around, I never got online. I never got invited to the parties, even as a teenager, same thing. I don't know, just like social a little bit backward, I would say. Yeah.
So did you I mean, I know when I talk to artists and, you know, illustrators, painters and such, you know, sometimes if they have those experience, and it's an experience I can connect to of, you know, maybe not feeling or quite fitting in. It's something a lot of humans can relate to. Did you find your art was connected to creating an environment that you could understand or a world that you would inhabit? Or did you feel you were doing that? Yeah.
Absolutely. It was my little saving space. It saved me. Same with making music. It just, I don't know, I could block out all the bullying and all of that crap that I had to put up with. And it gave me a lot of happiness, really. Yeah.
So was it, did you feel you were creating like fantasy worlds? Was it a lot of fantasy stuff or?
Look, it just took, I guess, the pain away, so, and all the sort of bad thoughts, so I could, I don't know, it just gave me some, it felt like space. And during my teenage years, which are the hardest years, I think, of your life, I was in a boarding school for 6 years. And if you live in a school and you're heavily bullied, it's a really, really hard place to get your head around. So definitely the arts played a really important part in, I think, developing my whole character, really, and my serious compulsion to create whatever it is.
And do you feel like it's been a kind of like a, did you reach a point as far as dealing with what, you know, would be traumatic experiences, you know, related, you know, to being bullied and the fact that you're, you know, creative and, you know, just kind of trying to figure out how to fit in. I mean, has that been a kind of like a process of how you've used art throughout your life, or how did you deal with that? Cause it's such a, you know, that can be such a troubling and deeply, you know, difficult experience.
Yeah. Listen, I tried to fit in and I tried every method, and anyone who knows me will just think, oh my God, like I tried every fashion and every style and everything, and it just, none of it worked. So in the end, I think I was in my sort of mid 20s. I just went, you know, screw this, I don't care. And I just kind of went wild. And then, oh, look, I've pulled back from those days as well. And I just realized, you know, being yourself and whatever that is way better than being like everyone else anyway. So, you know.
And it's pardon to interrupt, but what about the role of humor? I mean, I see your online presence on Instagram. You are, I mean, I'm not overstating this. I mean, you're hilarious. And watching the things that you create and how you create some of the characters, including the, you know, the cat Kevin in your recent paintings, humor seems really important to you. I mean, do you find yourself going into like dark humor, or you just want to make people laugh? Because you're making a lot of people laugh. Is that been a helpful device or adaptation?
Yeah. Oh, look, I've been doing that probably ever since, you know, I was a young kid. I think another defense mechanism, and it's just the way that I look at things first up. I kind of see the funny side. I have to. In a way, so that's just one way of sort of battling anxiety and depression. Is, I mean, life is funny. It is a lot of the time. Even when it's at its most tragic, it often is really funny. So, yeah, I just think that my mind goes there as, you know, as a starting point.
I wanted to ask, I've heard you talk or looked at your work over time, and I don't know if you think in terms of periods of, you know, stylistically the things that you're doing, but I know you had done, you know, landscapes and still lifes, and you're very adventurous in your subjects and what you go into. Can you talk a little bit about your evolution, particularly as a painter from your perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the older I get, the more adventurous I am. And obviously you paint all day, every day if you can, and you learn so many new tricks, I guess I call them tricks, and also to take way more risks. So I believe I started, you know, in the more traditional areas, you know, landscape, still life. And most people can relate to that. And that's sort of, I guess, translated to early sales. And then I got stuck into that for a while, and then I actually had a breakdown and I just stopped caring about any sales altogether. And I think that's where I really started coming out of my shell in the best way. So, like, yeah, silver linings and all that. Yeah.
And how did you develop your technique? I mean, were you trained in painting and just kind of like started with more traditional kind of, more, like you said, maybe more viable commercially, but traditional type of works?
Yeah, listen, my mother is a classical painter and my grandmother was a painter as well. So I sort of grew up, you know, still playing with paints. And then I did go to art school and I did major in painting, though. I think they failed me first year. I don't think I learned that much at art school. I just, yeah, was kind of a little young. But I'm mainly self-taught, yeah.
What, you know, I heard you mention boarding school. You know, I went to public schools out in Rhode Island, and I remember, you know, a friend of mine, you know, attempting to choke and stab, you know, the assistant principal, and just weird kind of experiences like that. Yeah. Like, what the heck is boarding school like?
Right. Look, if you go to boarding school, you want to be popular. Trust me. You want to come from the right family. You want to look the part. You probably want to know some of the other families that you got to come from. I don't know, like your parents have to have the right business. It's really quite complicated. And if you don't, then you're automatically in the DAG group, which is, I don't know, the DAGy, what would you call it? The nerd group? Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's the word? Yeah. DAG?
DAG, yeah.
Okay.
Australian slang for not cool. Yeah, so you start there at 12, you're not cool, and then it doesn't get any better. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a hard place, yeah.
It's certainly a difficult time. Did you ever ask yourself why you create?
I think it calms me. I think that's why. And it wouldn't have to be painting or music. It could have been writing, being a chef. But, you know, I don't believe in it, you know, being creative as being so singular in your choice. It could have been anything. So, but, yeah, I did hook on to painting after my music career failed. So, yeah.
Tell me about the music. I love music. I have a lot of guests who are musicians. What type of things were you doing when you were doing music?
Okay, so I was a classical composer.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and in that particular area, the job scope option, I don't know, like you have to be trained in so many different ways, in which I wasn't. My understanding of musicianship was terrible. Like I couldn't really read music, which is ridiculous considering I started when I was three. There were a bunch of things against that working out, and I think music industry is the hardest one out of all the arts that I can think of. So it just didn't work out, and I knew that by the time I was about 22, I just went, okay, well, I have to move on to something else, and I did.
And so, you know, composing, I mean, you know, you just stated it's a pretty significant concept, you know, for me. I mean, you're essentially talking about, you know, creating, you know, full, you know, classical movements and songs, right? And what ages did you do? When did you do that?
Oh, like as soon, I don't know, probably when I was about four. And,
four?
Yeah, my teachers at my first school, one of the nuns, she used to try and write down my first pieces and in a little music score book. And I think I might have been, well, I was definitely seven when she thought, oh, you're going to be, you know, this big star. And she was writing down my first pieces. So, yeah, that was what I was good at, was creating. But I'm not a technical genius and I'm not very good at being perfect. So Playing other people's music was never my forte. So I did have that bit of a problem as well.
But teacher, the nun in particular, I mean, was supportive of, I mean, she didn't try to get rid of the devil that was in the music. I'm not saying there was devil in your music, but she was, or was there? I mean, she wasn't trying
to. She loved me, yeah, and I loved her too. And I also, in high school, I also had a piano teacher who was wonderful, and she also was writing down my scores, which were really, really difficult at that time. So, you know, there was some belief there that this could really work, but it didn't.
Has anybody, I don't know if you still have that stuff. I mean, have you handed it over to anybody and say, why don't you try to play this and see what it sounds like? Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. I do have them. I have them somewhere, yeah.
I bet
that probably means... spider web somewhere in the studio, but exist.
So one of the questions I ask is, you know, what type of art forms attract you? Obviously, you've participated in, creating music and writing music and painting. Are there any other forms that you particularly enjoy or wish to do or have done?
Look, I think I love nearly all of them that I can think of. I love textiles. I grew up with, a house covered in Persian carpets. My dad is like a hoarder of Persian carpets. Obviously, painting's my favorite, but I love, glassware and pottery and any kind of textiles and fabrics and I don't know, everything really.
A pivotal question I always like to ask guests is, do you have a definition of art? I mean, what do you consider to be art?
Oh, no. I don't know if I can answer
you
that.
You knew I was going to ask that one.
but I think I must have blocked it out. I think my cop-out answer, I think art can be anything you want it to be.
there's also the converse way of asking what isn't art, I'm not quite sure to approach it, but no, I've certainly had that answer before, and a lot of people speak to subjectively that they derive enjoyment out of this particular film, this type of music, and kind of open themselves up to that. So it's obviously completely legitimate.
Look, I have a little bit of a problem with the actual word art and then also calling oneself an artist, because I think there's a pretentious quality attached to being an artist, whereas, another form of making art that does not have, in quotation marks, that high art reputation doesn't mean that it's inferior to what you see in the museums, that sort of thing. So I do have a complicated understanding of what I think is art, but yeah, it's truly, it has something to do with the way that I would appreciate something, whatever that is. It could be an oil stain on the road, and that could be art to me as well.
And one of the things that I've seen, and like I said, I particularly enjoy and laugh a lot, and there's a lot of humor, is again on with Instagram, and you have a cat, a black somewhat famous cat, I think, at least in that realm, Kevin, that shows up in a lot of your paintings. But first of all, what's your relationship with cats? Is Kevin real?
No.
Okay.
My relationship with cats. Look, I've been drawing and cartooning cats for, I don't know, as long as I can remember. And I have a very mixed yin-yang kind of relationship to the idea of cats, because I see them as having equal qualities of heaven and hell in them. they can be these cute little fluffy babies with these big eyes that you absolutely adore, and the next thing you know, they're murdering some creature and playing with it. And then giving the head to you under your carpet. So, I can have a lot of fun using them as a platform, imagining that they're people because they just lend themselves to being made fun of as well.
You're definitely not averse to definitions. I mean, you know, I know your definition for art, but I didn't know, that cats were heaven hell creatures. So it's that kind of
just like people, you know, just like people. Some have a bit more heaven in them than others, and some have a bit more hell in them than others, I've found. And I just love that, those polar opposite qualities that are embodied in every single cat if it's got a brain.
And with you put out, again, on social media, we live far away from each other and haven't seen your originals, but you put out a lot of, they're just beautiful, beautiful paintings. They're lovely to look at, but there's a lot of them too. Can you give us a peek into, like, do you just paint a whole lot of paintings? What's your routine like?
Yeah. Look, I'm a crazy person in there. I make probably, between 2 to 5 paintings a day. It depends on the size. I've often got about 5 or 6 paintings in progress. And I'm just a compulsive painter. I'm a compulsive worker. So it makes me feel good. It's some form of meditation. I call it productive meditation.
And it's very necessary for you.
Yeah.
What about your interaction? I mean, people, I've just seen recently, again, with paintings, reacting to them, getting excited about them, sharing them. There must be a really, in general, good energy and vibe you pick up off of that. Is that part of your routine of just seeing how these stories and these narratives and these characters that you have and the paintings themselves are getting people kind of riled up a little bit?
Yeah, look, they give me pleasure to make them, and then in turn, for whatever reason, other people also get pleasure from looking at them, and I really love that. It's just it's a give, really, and if it makes people feel happy, then that certainly makes me feel good too.
We started off talking about you lived in Oregon and lived out here for a bit, and of course now where you are, and it was Barrow, right? That was the name of the town.
Barrow, yeah.
What level of influence does what's around you and what you see and what's outside the window, does that still impact you as far as what you create compared to when you were, doing landscapes and were kind of painting a bit more of the environment? I mean, how much does where you are impact what you're painting right now?
I would say right now that basically nothing outside, in the environment, inspires me. Other than roses, occasionally I will paint them, and they're stunning. I'll probably always paint them just as practice, and if I don't have anything I want to say or play with. But pretty much it's to do with social interaction and what kind of things I've seen or played out, or it could be something political too that I will just put into play in the form of a character. So it's all made up, the paintings are made up, but it's not because I'm looking out the window at something pretty ever.
Sure.
Yeah.
How's becoming a mother changed you and changed your art?
Okay, well, that is one of the reasons I paint pretty fast. I learned how to do that, is to really maximize your time, because, back in the day I'd be standing around all day going, oh, I don't know what to paint, I don't have the inspiration, blah, blah, blah. And what I do realize, that it has nothing to do with it. It just has to do with you doing the work, and the rest comes. So, and also having a child and watching their wonder, and then being reintroduced into the imaginative side of being a child, and there's fairies, and they believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all of that stuff. It's so amazing, and and so inspiring, really. I think all of that's really, really helped my career in general. Yeah.
Yeah, we I've had a recent interview with the guest, and she talked about how she had moved more towards, you know, writing and having a small space. She's a musician as well, and but you know, with the apartment and who was around and you can't wake the kids, she, you know, took the, you know, limitations of the environment and just kind of focused on her writing, and she's a brilliant writer.
Yep, you do what you can.
You do, yeah, with the environment that you're in, and that makes a lot of sense, particularly with, you know, how time intensive some of the processes can be. So I'm going to ask you like some general stuff about, you know, projects you got going on or way people can connect with your work in just a tiny bit. But am I to understand that there may be a book of your work coming out eventually?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm illustrating, well, they will be paintings, and I have a poet doing amazing poetry. So one poem for each page. Yeah. And it's going to be amazing. Her name is Laurie Moores. Yeah.
And on some of your postings on Instagram, I believe those have been her words underneath the paintings as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
She works as fast as I do. It takes her two minutes to write the most perfect poem. And it takes me, well, not 2 minutes, but it takes me an hour to do a painting. So it's just, yeah, it's one of those things that just has to happen. Yeah,
yeah. The collision of two phenomenal artists is definitely, we can enjoy the byproduct of that.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't something we planned either. It was just a really strange thing that happened, and I was like, well, we really need to do something with this, and so we are. Yeah.
The title of the podcast is Something Rather Than Nothing, and this question might annoy you a tiny bit, like the what is art question, but why is there something rather than nothing?
Oh no, this isn't, yeah, so not Eric.
I knew this is what you're talking about. I knew this is the other question that you were talking about. You can get a smart, what's Australian for smarmy answer? Is it smarmy?
Yeah, look, I feel so unprepared for this. It's sort of like, are you talking about, is there a God? Because God created something from nothing, right? In the ideation behind that. I would say I don't believe in that. I believe there is something rather than nothing, if that's any part of the answer.
Well, you got a blank canvas, Vanessa. It's blank, and then you've created something from it. It's really about the act of creation, and that's the piece where I've become so interested in why something appears or why something comes out, and you know,
from action. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's
it's like
the
doing. Yeah,
is there a deep smarmy answer? Is that, I mean?
Yeah, I'm feeling really dumb right now.
No, that's no, no, no. That's not. That's, you know, that's not the aim. So like you said, you had put out, you know, anywhere from like 2 to 5. Paintings a day, and so we're enjoying, you know, seeing all of that. But what ways can, you know, I'm over here in the United States, what ways can people who, you know, enjoy your art connect with it in a way that, you know, that you can present to them, and, you know, not necessarily connect with you, but connect with what you're doing in your art?
Well, I think the easiest place to connect with me is my Instagram page, because I'm pretty active on there. I try to respond to people as well if they've got any questions. So that's just, my name is Vanessa Stockard. And then I advertise shows and whatever collaborations I'm doing. So, yeah, most of the information, I use Instagram as a platform for that.
And that's there's plenty there, and that's a fantastic place. I wanted to ask you, and I know you don't do as many of them right now, but I'm just curious, as you know, I paint myself, and almost like paint myself in the sense of when you've done self portrait in that process. The question is just really limited to when you've done that. And you've looked at your self-portrait, what do you feel?
The good part about doing self-portraits is you can just learn. And how do I feel? Well, I don't really feel anything in particular because I'm not trying to impress anyone other than get some sort of a likeness. But what I have noticed is that the way that I see myself every day is so different, and I don't think I've got a real handle on the way that I look a lot of the time. You know, my husband laughs at me a lot. He just goes, "Ness, your ears aren't, they're not that long. Look, I'll show you. I'm going to measure your ears." Like, we laugh. He's like, "You know, like your jaw, you don't have a big jaw, Ness." I'm like, "Yes, I do. Look, I'll show you." And I get laughed at a lot, actually, with my self-portraits. So I don't know. I find them, they're pretty fascinating, really, from day to day, how different you feel. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just really wondering, just a very curious about that, you know, such an intimate connection with, you know, with that, and just wonder what your impressions are. I do have to say that during the recording of this podcast, my cat, Mrs. Mia Wallace, named after the Pulp Fiction character, clawed my leg and has drawn blood. So, you know, I wasn't sure. I mean, I'm a cat lover. I wasn't sure about your heaven and hell cat theory, but
yeah,
it just tells when you spend a little time, you know, when you spend a little time together, you might end up discovering that you might share more in common. And I do right now as I'm, am bleeding. So, not enough to cut the podcast short, but Vanessa, I do want to tell you that just from my perspective, I've been doing this podcast since July, and I think I told you early on, it's a lot of fun. It's a great joy of mine, and I'm proud of it. Part of that is being able to talk with an artist, yourself, a painter, who I just get so much, you know, daily enjoyment at looking at what you create. So I wanted to just directly thank you for that, for what you do, but also for spending the time, you know, a limited time, as you described, with, you know, your schedule to appear on the podcast. I just wanted to extend that deep thanks, and actually just the fact that I'm simply thrilled to be doing this podcast with you, and I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
Thank you so much. It's been so fun, and thanks for asking me the hard questions. I'm slightly sweating, and it's a really cold day. But I'll recover, no problem. I'll just get back to work. No, it's been great. It's been really entertaining for me to try and answer your questions as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. And I look forward each day to seeing the beautiful art you make. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye now.
You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing.